Do you read bumper stickers? I can't help but read them. Maybe not as many as there used to be, but there's just some. There's funny ones. One I like: "Life's too short to drink bad wine." I'm like, amen. But then there's religious ones. There's religious ones. Here's a sample: "Atheists are beyond belief." "Come the rapture, can I have your car?" "I bet Jesus would have used his turn signals." "If you are born again, do you have two belly buttons?" Think about it. "Lord, help me to be the person my dog thinks I am." "I have the body of a god, Buddha." And finally, "Read the Bible. It will scare the hell out of you." Some years ago, I did see an actual bumper sticker that said, "No Jesus," like N-O, "No Jesus, no peace." But underneath that, it said, "No Jesus," K-N-O-W, "no peace." No Jesus, no peace. No Jesus, no peace. I thought it was very clever. It stuck with me. I think we could have an official bumper sticker as we travel to the feast based on the one I just read, and it would be this: "No law, no peace." No law, no peace. No law, no peace. No law, no peace. What do I mean by that? Well, let's open up our Bibles, Psalm 119. Psalm 119. This entire psalm is in praise of God's law, but we'll just read one verse, Psalm 119 and 165, which says, "Great peace have they which love your law, and nothing shall offend them." Great peace have they which love your law. So if you love God's law, it's going to produce peace. But if there's no law or no law obedience, then there is no peace. The law of God is the foundation of peace. And if we want to water that down or eliminate it, we build a stumbling block to real lasting peace. We see a world since the days of Adam that has produced war after war, conflict after conflict. And why is that? Well, God's law has been rejected overall. The fruit of that rejection leads to confrontation based on greed and lust. Since the millennium, time that we'll be soon thinking about a little bit more with the feast, since that will be an incredible time of peace and harmony, it must therefore be a time that God's law is in full force. And indeed, it is. Let's see Isaiah 32. Isaiah chapter 32. And this is a wonderful book to read around the full holy day time. But we just have a couple of verses here in Isaiah chapter 32. In verse 1, it sets the stage. It says, "Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment." It's an allusion to the coming Messiah, which of course is Christ. "And shall reign in righteousness." Another verse in Psalm 119, 172 is that all your commands, all of God's commands, are righteousness, or are righteous. Jesus Christ will be a king of law. He will embody God's law, and he will teach it from his throne in Jerusalem. Verse 2, it says, "And a man shall be as a hiding place from the wind, a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land." It's a beautiful image. It's a beautiful image. The law produces peace and tranquility. It removes fear and frustration. It leads to joy and comfort. verse 16. Then judgment shall dwell in the wilderness, and righteousness remain in the fruitful field. The judgments, decisions will always be based on God's word. Certainly the Ten Commandments in the letter and in the spirit, as well as the statutes of God. Verse 17, and the work of righteousness, the fruit of righteousness, will be peace. It will be peace. And the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. Just another one of these absolutely beautiful scriptures in Isaiah. I think we all desire quietness, peaceful dwellings, peace of mind, right? No anxiety. And whether they realize it or not, all of mankind desires this. It all desires this. But it can't be achieved when God's law is simply forsaken or disobeyed. The verse complements the principle of cause and effect. The work of righteousness, the cause shall be peace, right? You reap what you sow. And God's law will be sown in the world upon the arrival of the Messiah. All the earth shall be filled with his righteousness. The world will have incredible blessings as a result. Verse 18, and my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation, and in sure dwellings, and in quiet resting places. This, again, could never be achieved if God's commandments were given lip service or ignored. It could never happen if people just do what is right in their own eyes. But when God's laws are obeyed, peace will just spring up. You know, in light of the Ten Commandments, we can think of and yearn for a world that has no other gods before it, right? Commandment number one. There's no idols. People are focused on God and God alone. God's name will be revered, and people will strive to honor that name, which embodies everything about God. The Sabbath will be kept by everyone, like the entire earth will attend services each week, listen to God's word being expounded. It will unify mankind, which has, you know, beyond dozens and dozens of philosophies and religions. But in the millennium, the religion will be united through God's word. Parents will be honored. The family structure will be honored. Blessings will flow to children when they honor their parents, and blessings of the family when the parents rear their children, as God tells us. No stealing, just will give us peace of mind to your property and possessions. No adultery, commandment number 7. Marriages will never experience the heartbreak of this great sin. No murder. There'll be complete respect for those made in God's image, which is everybody. Lying, big ones and little ones eliminated. And coveting will be removed. Lust and greed stamped out. People taught the right way. And it will produce great contentment and lead to peace. Just some of the wonderful aspects of obeying just the literal aspects of the Ten Commandments. But then when you learn the spirit of the law, people will do this because they want to do it. They'll want to live the right way because they want to and realize how great it is and how beneficial it is. Let's go to James chapter 3, just one scripture here in the New Testament, book of James. James chapter 3, a wonderful verse here by James. James 3 and verse 18. James 3 verse 18. It says, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. This perfectly complements the scriptures that we read this sermonette. God's laws, which are righteousness, they're perfectly entwined with peace. They complement each other. Peace and righteousness, if there's no peace, there's no righteousness. But if we know peace, it will produce righteousness. And James says that these fruits are sown who make peace. Well, who will help Jesus Christ make peace in the millennium? It'll be the first fruits, right? The first fruits that are raised at that initial resurrection will work with Christ to teach and establish God's laws, and peace will break out. And brethren, we just need 100% sure that we'll be there. So we can not only assist the great lawgiver, which will be Christ, but we'll actually see for ourselves the wonderful effects of obeying God's commands, to see the way of peace fill this entire earth.